And our very special guest tonight, Stephen Quayle. This is what we're going to do. For the first hour, be talking with Stephen about Jade Helm 15 and cyber theft. In the second hour with Stephen, we're going to talk about some incredible stories about giants. We'll also be bringing in a special investigator, Timothy Alberino. He's been featured on Stephen Quayle's website. And then in our last hour, of course, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Coast, Stephen Quayle with us, of course. He has been with us since the beginning of time, practically. Several of his books include Genesis 6 Giants. We'll talk about that next hour. And this hour, we're going to be talking about Jade Helm cyber theft. And I can't believe it, Stephen, but it's happening. I talked with Craig Hewlett a little bit about this last night, about Jade Helm. We think that it's a training exercise in case of civil disobedience or something. What do you think?
Well, I think it's more than that, George. I think, obviously, by its very name, mastering the human domain, we're seeing, and it leads into the next subject, but we're seeing that they want to know everything about who we are, names, addresses, biometrics, social media accounts, what we do, our travel history, our communications, financial transaction movement of our physical assets, who you know, and the context, the contextual data of our demographics, our politics, cultural norms, and religion. So what we're doing, I'm afraid, with Jade Helm is so multifaceted. One thing is, and they're very, you know, the sword in the middle and the arrows pointing both ways. They want to know everything. And I think that people need to understand that in the United States, all of their effort with Jade Helm should be directed outside towards America's real threats, the tragedy of felonious aliens being released. I'm talking about now ones that have been imprisoned in the United States, the murders we've watched take the country by storm, the seemingly silence from the administration, the Justice Department, and others. Then we're dealing with the whole idea of the human domain. I'll make it real simple. They want to know everything about everyone. I challenge all the cyber attacks. I don't believe it's some ominous group of Russian hackers. The Russian hackers are too smart, and all hackers, they want money. They don't want this data information out. Information could be sold on the black market, credit cards, etc. But what's troubling to me about Jade Helm, and as you know, I'm a pretty outspoken opponent of it, never in the history of the United States have special operations under basically every different branch of the service been brought together for nighttime exercises. And do you remember, George, when they basically were saying, even to the police departments and 9/11 and sheriff's departments, if you hear any gunfire, don't respond.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people are terrified around the country, and rightly so, and God bless Texas. In my opinion, they have one of the most astute governors who basically says, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'll verify it. Remember when Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify? And it's troubling to me that, let me give you a quote from someone, and then we'll obviously know who it is. He said, how fortunate for governments that the people they administer don't think. Well, that's Adolf Hitler. So one of the things with Jade Helm is the multitudinous, different ways they're coming at us with so much data. And so I believe that it's designed to also be a cover for the positioning of troops throughout the country. It's not just the original 7 states, and it's expanded into 15 states. But there's something else going on, and everybody's been postulating from earthquakes, obviously the Russian intrusions into our airspace. Russia all of a sudden went from being a partner to now being the number one defined enemy, which I categorically reject. The number one enemy of the American people seems to be those who are making war on it. And my question is, since when did 238,000 dead veterans become the enemy? Since when did the middle class, who's pretty much wiped out, become the enemy? Since when did our heritage demand the erasure of the entire, if you will, civil war? And there's two sides of the civil war. Now, also, I maintain that it's borders, language, culture. That's Michael Savage's quote. I believe our borders are destroyed. I believe our language is definitely languishing. And also, our culture is being taken apart piece by piece. A famous statement made by someone in authority basically said, America's the greatest country in the world, and we intend to change all that. I was reading Drudge's headlines, and do you see Drudge's headlines tonight on the top left corner?
I sure did, yeah.
You know, what has happened to this country? We're seeing the most extreme indications that everyone other than them, meaning them, are the proponents of a new world order, of the globalist government. We're hearing all these reports, and they're real reports, about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and all of the different events going on. Then we've got the three-ring circus of how many people have thrown their hat in the ring for the Republican nomination, and only one, in my opinion, is telling it like it is. You know, and I think we can go with a statement, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Well, the only guy I see telling the truth is Donald Trump. And look, this isn't a political speech, it's just this. Look at how all of the rats want to poil on, get on his case for saying what, and I'm not just talking about John McCain, I'm talking about the immigrant issue, and something's got to be done. Now, the intentional positioning, and I think you're reading the same story as I am, that the integration of everyone from Africans to Muslims from all over the country being selectively introduced to, what, over 24, 25 key cities. Well, that's a direct, I believe, assault upon the middle class and upon the American citizens. So Jade Helm is a multifaceted exercise in which they're checking everyone's response. Obviously, my words will be scrutinized. Your words will be scrutinized. They're trying to get the general psychological response of the people that are defining their concerns. Now, I think it's tragic that we're seeing United Nations vehicles. The sovereignty of the United Nations is going to disappear. Some people don't like that statement. I hate it. I love this country. I love what it stood for. I love what it was. But just as a Confederate flag has been made now an object of ridicule, divorced from history. Look, I'm not saying what it stood for is all that good, but what I'm saying is, again, our national identity, our national landmarks, everything is being changed, turned into a World Heritage Site, or whatever they want to call it, under Agenda 21. So Jade Helm, to me, is the military arm of the complete takeover through the identification and eradication of the American citizens. We all know Larry Greifswald, the FBI agent who penetrated the Weather Underground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he made the statement back in the time he did that there was plans to murder 30 or 40 million Americans. Most people simply can't get their mind around that we would actually be now, instead of the land of the home, or the land and home of the free and the brave, that now we have been turned into a bunch of criminals and knaves in the eyes of those globalists who basically, if you love the freedoms that were given to us under the Bill of Rights, the constitutional guarantees, we've become a lawless nation now, and a nation that becomes lawless is capable of incredible and dangerous slaughter of its inhabitants.
Steve, some time ago, there was a story of a time traveler. His name was John Teeter, and he left behind a number of things that he thought would happen because he was a time traveler. And one of the things he said that would happen would be a civil war in the United States. Another one. What do you think of that?
Well, I agree, and I remember when we started, you and I, on doing shows together, the one thing I made the statement of, there's the coming civil war is going to be very real. The statement I think you made is, let's hope not, or something. But the fact is that it's being stirred up, the strife is being stirred up. With the militarization of the police became the vilification of the public. And now you've got the public rioting over what I believe is genuine police abuse. Look, you don't need to gun down somebody when three, you know, muscle-bound cops can grab them. There's no danger to somebody. And even with, a firearm, now people can say, I'm not a cop. Well, again, I'm not a cop, but I'm also not blind. You know, we don't need to turn the police. But listen, that's part of the Russian Revolution. That's part of the whole idea. That's what Hitler did with the Brown shirts. And I think what's tragic is watching what's happening to the U.S. military. They used to have their focus external to the enemies of the United States. The gunning down of the four Marines is a good example of how much contempt our own government. They used to be told that the Clintons, forgive me, but they didn't like the military or the Secret Service. Now we have at least the flag of flying at half mast over the halls of Congress, yet the White House didn't even acknowledge the Marines that were slaughtered. It's crazy, isn't it? You can give a guy a weapon to go to war to defend the country,
yeah,
but you sure can't let him have a weapon to defend his own life. I think that the Marines, and I know a lot of them, I'm sure you know many Marines too, but this is not something that's going to set well with the Marine Corps. And I believe that the other branches of the service who take their constitutional oaths seriously are going to be as upset, not forgive me, are going to be. They are as upset. So it's interesting. You have the oath breakers on the left side, and you've got the oath keepers on the right side. And look, we are going to have a civil war. It's already planned. And again, one of the tenets of the overthrow of the United States was to pit every ethnic group against every ethnic group.
Well, I was going to say, Stephen, will this be between the haves and the have-nots, or will it be between the people and the government?
All of the above. I think you saw a good example of it in Waco with the setup of the bikers. And the thing is that, to my knowledge, if you look at the information that has actually, there's been a containment of the information. I believe the preliminary autopsy show that most of the shots fired were from law enforcement, and it was like basically shooting fish in a barrel with snipers. Now, I maintain that was a whole setup. Now, let me explain to people what I believe was going on. The idea of bike gangs could ultimately band together, and there's a lot of, and look, these aren't all criminals. I mean, good night. Sturgis has the Harley Davidson rally in South Dakota has sometimes close to 1 million people.
They sure do.
And,
oh, yeah.
and they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're judges, they're the men and women who many of them have made this country great. So when the bikers were lured, L-U-R-E-D, into this thing, it was designed to basically, number one, they kept him in jail. I understand now, it's probably the greatest travesty and miscarriage of justice. So you can't hold them incommunicado. There were no charges levied against, what were there, 186, George, something like that?
It was.
And so, you know, the whole country should have been screaming. But see, I maintain now we're a nation of lawlessness. And it's interesting because you always ask me about this, but the Bible prophecy says one of the signs of the Antichrist will be total lawlessness, where each man does that which is right in his own sight.
You know, it's funny, Stephen, I got an email tonight when we talk about biblical terms and we talk about the final trumpet. He said, what's the Donald's last name? Trump? he said he was the final trumpet.
Well, I think that's what I call a prophetic neon light flashing. Listen, Donald Trump is successful. He's outspoken. He lives in a no BS world. I think the attacks on him, I'll tell you, some of the Republicans, especially Senator from Arizona, better back off, because now the whole POW issue is coming to the forefront again. And if you remember, there was a giant cover-up. I'll tell you a quick story, may I, about the POWs?
Sure.
The reason Ross Perot quit the presidential campaign is he was totally threatened. I think you remember him making a statement about death threats against his family. Well, a certain gentleman, and I think he's known the name, but I won't drop the name right now, basically had a order to get the documents that Ross Perot had in his possession concerning all the live POWs,
yes,
and MIA.
And we left a lot of them behind.
And McCain's attitude was not only pathetic, but disgusting. So, you know, here's the thing. People can deal with the fruit of evil until they're blue in the face, but they've got to get to the root of evil. And here's the root of evil in the whole country. There is no truth in the land. Everything is spin. And let's just look at the mainstream vomit brokers. You know, I call the mainstream press the vomit brokers. You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, listening to them is like being thrown in a bathtub with, you know, about five guys hurling and hurling, you know, the same meal, and it would have been enough to, you know, and disgusting enough to have it. And somebody says, well, that's pretty graphic. Well, that's the sanitized version of what I really think, because again, the thing that we're seeing throughout the country is we're seeing just obvious denial in the face of truth. And tell a lie, tell a big enough lie, tell it enough times. And that's what the mainstream media thrives on. Two words, I'll give you a good example. Benghazi, G, Fast and Furious, G, you know. We can go on. And I think the thing we've got to address, too, is Fukushima. George, can you believe that the word cause and effect, or the two words cause and effect, seem no longer applicable to common sense, or I would just say this, critical thinking? We're hearing words that, you know, the astonishing reports of the sea life, the whales, everything basically dying. The fishermen, their catches are lessening and lessening. And when somebody took me to task, and I said, well, the Pacific Ocean is a third of the sea, and the Bible talks about a third of the life in the sea dying. They said, well, it's only 30.3%. I said, yeah, but you're not counting still the part of the Pacific that's frozen with icebergs. And they said, well, yeah.
And they deny that there's any possibility of danger from the remnants of Fukushima.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I would tell everybody to basically look up, you know, what radioactive isotopes. I think plutonium is 29,000 years plus or minus. Maybe it's 28,500. All of the strontium-90, you know, the birth defects, even from the above-ground atomic testing in Nevada, the atmospheric testing, that affected a lot of people in the West, especially with thyroid cancer. Now we've got the ocean currents carrying the debris, and I don't know if you're watching some of the radioactive reports or radioactivity reports around, but if you go to any nuclear handbook, any of the civil defense stuff, or even the basic nuclear medicine, the amount of exposure that people are getting is, and literally when I say this, it's off the charts as far as cumulative radiation exposure. Radiation is not a one-time deal. If you keep getting exposed, it builds up and builds up and builds up. And at a certain point, you know, you get an LD50 rating and lethal dose where it means 50% of the people are going to die. I don't know if you have callers calling in from Alaska, but
we do. We've had them.
Yep, and I mean, it's dire. And then there's no denying, you know, people say this, here's the disconnect. We've never seen it like this before. It's never been like this before. And everybody will make those statements, but they'll say, what could possibly be the root of everything dying in the Pacific Ocean? Well, the most horrific man-made disaster has taken place with the denials. It's like radioactivity is just something that ends up in a comic book turning somebody into a superhero. It's not like that at all. It's destroying. And then the mutagenic nature of radiation, in other words, the ability to produce horrific distortions in the normal sea life and the mammals that are in the ocean, is becoming even more problematic. And it's heartbreaking to see all the great creatures. Look, I used to be a really intense scuba diver, and when the reefs were good and the fishing, you know, the fish and all of the abalone were off Abalone Cove in Southern California, I broke my teeth diving in Catalina.
What'd you bump against?
Yeah, a seal.
Oh.
Yeah, and I also busted my eardrums because, you know, a couple times.
Yeah, you got to be careful going down there.
Yep, but anyway, the thing is that it's now, I'm talking to people. I have a lot of listeners like you do from all over the world, and they're just telling me, it's dire. And how about all the Navy, you know, here's the biggest cover-up. We talked about cover-up.
Hold on, Stephen. We're at the break. We'll come right back. And welcome back, Stephen Quayle with us. We're going to talk Giants next hour. Stephen, you were talking about some kind of Navy episode? What happened?
Well, we were talking about, I'm sorry, right before we went to the break, of course, we were talking about all of the men who are on the aircraft carrier being exposed to the radiation off of Fukushima coming from the reactor's meltdown. And that got really hushed up. And even the lawsuits that were filed, it's tragic. And it wasn't just the U.S. Navy sailors. Japan passed a law where basically the investigative journalists were pretty much muzzled. Do you remember that?
Sure.
And there was a little bit of a upheaval over it. But here's the deal. This is not an extinction-level event, but it is, I believe, a biblically prophetic event, because when a third of the life in the sea dies, what happens to the people that eat the sea life, that basically are dependent upon the ocean, especially the Pacific Ocean and the Pacific Rim? And one of the other things that no one ever deals with is the idea of the undersea volcanoes and the sulfur that's being emitted and the acidity and how that's going to react and does react and how the ocean currents are carrying that. So the alkalinity, the pH of the ocean is changing, and I believe it is the biggest cover. When I say biggest, it's kind of hard, George, because every time you think there's nothing bigger they can cover up, you have to come to the conclusion that everything is covered up. So, and the mainstream press isn't even picking up on the 11 doctors now. 11, that's an important number. You probably watched that the MDs that are being murdered. Well, there were 11 of those. Again, most people don't realize that Fukushima. Now, I'm not saying the two are related, but I'm saying that somebody behind it loves the number 11, because you've got the March 11th, 2011, meltdown of Fukushima due to the 9.0 earthquake. And then now we've got the, the murder, and they've only got six they say are murdered. Well, what happened to the other five? Okay.
Yeah,
they
haven't. And it's going, and it's all over the country now, when it's begin in Mexico, right?
Yes, sir. And you and I did this story, and you know, my compliments, because you were the really first big national broadcaster, international broadcaster, to pick it up and run with it. And so the reason, and let me explain something to people. The reason why the dead scientists, now I've lost count, you know, there are people that claim it's 200, you know, I think I've got 126 on my website or more, but the reason those were the who's who in the world of biological warfare, they were the who's who in molecular biology, they were who's who in bioweapons, and one of them specifically was a Russian scientist who came up with the quintessential, if you will, vaccine, and this was a safe one for all viruses. They whacked him too. So now that we've got a new grouping, what's the biggest push right now? Genetically modified organisms. Now, our Congress said no to labeling, to warning people. So it's open season now on eating all of the modified food. And the next hour, you know, we'll get into why even the giants. We're talking about something with genetically modified food now that's going to basically, they used to call it Frankenfood, but I don't think people understand when you've got genetically altered food, what that does to the human genome.
I know. Yeah. They play with Mother Nature. It's going to backfire on us.
Well, and not only is it going to backfire on them, but look, now even what the founder of Tesla, Elon Musk, is saying, you got to be careful of the robot apocalypse. You guys, and some of the brightest guys that are even those who helped develop the technology are saying, be careful of AI. Then you get, obviously, the U.S. military is really big on cyborgs and really becoming more open in their super soldier program. When I used to write about that and talk about that, you know, I think people used to think that I was from a galaxy far, far away, you know, and now they're having to admit it. And again, what's tragic about this is, guess who disappears in the equation? Us. And years ago, and I don't remember how long, but you know, at least 8 or 9 years ago, I coined a term or at least brought it forth on your show, called technological decadence, okay? And I just shortened it to tech-necadence, because I like to do that. I figure since all language seems to be bastardized and very few words really mean what they used to mean, I'll just invent my own words, define them, and therefore if I'm the one that first uses a word, then there's nobody who can say, well, it really doesn't mean that. And so over the years, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing ultimately the replacement of human beings by machines and by sentient machines. Ray Kurzweil's book, you know, Spiritual Machines. And it's like the old movie, Christine, I think it was. Isn't that the movie? What's the name of the movie that becomes demon-possessed?
They all become demon-possessed.
Yep. And so this is, you know, and we'll get into that in the next hour with Tim Alberino, because when you're talking about technology of the ancients, the people who control the past determine the future. That's my statement. And by keeping the true technology hidden, and I mean, you know, when the Indian government goes to an aerospace world gathering and present their papers on Vimanas, the ancient flying machines of India, and the weapons they possessed and the power sources, even instruction manuals in Sanskrit for how to fly these things. Well, people can laugh, but Hitler's scientists took it seriously, and the Third Reich, which, by the way, I'm writing about that right now, the
Good.
Technology of the Third Reich, beyond what most people have.
And they
done.
Had amazing technology.
Right,
Steve.
But guess what? The Anunnaki were all over the globe, and what's fascinating is when we get to the Incas, the Aztecs, and the Mayans in the next hour with Timothy, we're talking about such advanced technology that built the great edifices in Peru specifically and on the shores of Lake Titicaca that it defies the, how should I say this, the primitive weapons. If most people even understand, if the weaponry can tell you a lot about the culture and about the civilization's past. That's why the conquistadors just made quick work of the Aztecs. But the Aztecs, Mayans, and Incans, none of them declared that they built those great edifices from Machu Picchu to Tiwanaku, and we'll talk about some of those places because they're going to be very, very important in what we're going to discuss in the next hour. Again, technology is suppressed. The truth is suppressed. The Smithsonian, we all hear about the great Smithsonian cover-up. And by the way, that one article that was circulating that the Smithsonian admits, that was a satirical article. But what's important for people to understand is that there are massive, the records of even the 1880s, early 1900s in the United States, and I'll tell you a funny story. It was after you and I talked the first time on Coast to Coast, this literally happened, about giants. I mentioned the Lovelock giants in Lovelock, Nevada, the red-haired giants.
Yeah.
The museum that had the two giant mummies, they had a little visit from the men in black, and they took those out of that museum. But it was based on what we talked. So it's fascinating. I tell people, isn't it interesting? We go to giants on Coast to Coast, and my servers light up. You would think that you and I are the late-night drive-in for every spook organization in the world. And they pull their computers up, probably grab their coffee, and probably say a few expletives, and then listen carefully. Now, how can I make that statement? It's simple. I can get my logs. You can get the logs of who listens. But that's literally true. So again, keep in mind, and I want the Coast listeners to understand this, the real history of the world is far different than that which they admit to. Again, and unfortunately, modern anthropology has based a lot of their presumptions on a lot of lies. It's fascinating too, George, that ever since we talked about little creatures, my inbox is filling up. It filled up tonight even with people saying, are you going to talk about Bigfoot? Are you going to talk about, you know, the little creatures? And people from Ireland, Scotland, the Isle of Man, where the Bee Gees came from.
Well, you know, it's funny, Stephen, you bring that up. Yesterday I had David Politis on, who is talking about people who disappear in our park systems. And one of the theories, people being taken by little people.
Absolutely. I believe too in everything I've written. And by the way, Little Creatures has been an amazing success. People have said to me, thank you for writing this because I know what I saw and you're the only one telling me I'm not crazy. Well, I'm telling a lot of the Coast listeners what they see in orbs, you're not crazy. What you see in the wee people, you're not crazy. What you see in Bigfoot, you're not crazy. And it goes on and on and on. But again, when you want to control the truth, you have to ridicule, you have to vilify, you have to nullify. And that's what they do. And that's why the giants have been covered up. And what we're going to talk about, you know, I'm getting excited now. We're going to talk about why it's so important to cover up the giants until the time that they're going to come forth. You probably read the article about the Celts and the grave that was found with mixed species. In other words, you know, the things that I would call chimeras or that were historically in mythology and legends, even a unicorn. By the way, the unicorn is mentioned in the Bible. So people can try and say, well, it was a big horse. No, it wasn't. A unicorn, when you trace the word, means exactly what everyone has come to believe. So it seems like, again, there is more and more being revealed. You know, Jesus said there's nothing that's been hidden that isn't going to be made known. And so that's the premise I'm working on right now. And so when we get into Admiral Byrd and some of the things of the hollow earth theory, and that's, again, what I'm writing about right now. And I don't know if you knew this, but I'll throw a piece of information out there that'll blow people's minds. Did you know that the Nazis succeeded in building aircraft carrier length U-boats?
That's huge.
That's huge. They built 21 of them. So all the stories about the U-boats that disappeared and all of Germany's best scientists and technologists and everybody that they had disappearing wasn't all just make-believe stuff. As a matter of fact, you and I did a show years ago on that, on Operation High Jump. And immediately I was contacted, I believe, by the great-grandson or one of the relatives of Admiral Derrance, you know, the head of the Nazi U-boats, actually the underwater navy. And I can't pronounce the German. So when we do a show like this, and again, thank you so much for allowing me to take this freedom, it's phenomenal how many people that are holding the data, they're splitting, they want to tell somebody, will come forth with stuff. And now look, not all of the people are real, but when the majority are, and I'll get an email from a scientist saying, you can look me up on the net, you're telling it like it is, I tend to pay attention. And sure, I get skunked now and then, but there's only so much time and only so many dollars that you can do this. And by the way, I believe that the expedition that we're going to share with you, and it's Genesis 6, we're unlocking the history of the world. That may sound like a braggadocious statement, but it's not, because I've been writing about this stuff for so long, and you've had me on your show for so long, and there's others now taking up the cause and going different places with this, but there's more and more evidence turning up every day.
Stephen, I want to talk with you in the moments we have before next hour about biblical prophecy. Are we in it right now?
Absolutely. I believe we are absolutely in the start of the Great Tribulation. You and I have talked about it. That makes a lot of people uncomfortable. They don't want to admit it. But look, here's a good example. We're seeing now Christianity vilified all over the world. We're seeing Christians slaughtered. We're seeing them absolutely in the most horrific imaginable torture, drowning little children, burning them alive, tearing out little girls' hearts. You know, I've said that on your show before. Every form of evil, from the beheading to just gross stuff, is taking place. And not one word from, you know, the slaughterhouse over that. And it really makes me upset because, again, it's just like those Marines. Those are America's finest. When someone takes their, this is important, when someone lays down, is willing to die for their country, and they, all of our veterans who have, and then to be held in contempt, and I believe it is held in contempt. And when you see the mass firings, or some of them just plain quit, but when you're talking 300, I think that's how many so far, 300 battle-hardened, experienced, everything from generals, admirals, down the line, leaving the services, and then new guys coming on. And again, we can just look back to the history. You don't build prison camps to basically keep them empty forever. So I believe we are at the beginning, and just like you say, the trumpet judgments, well, we've got the seven seals that have to be opened first. We've got the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, and what's interesting, that one doesn't stop while the other ones take off. It's not Pony Express. It's kind of like the old Western movie. One horseman rides and another comes out of the left side of the street, another comes out of the right, and pretty soon they're all riding together. And death, famine, war, look what's on the horizon. By the way, I want to make a statement. It's unusual that we now are seeing the vilification of Russia. And what did Vladimir Putin do, which I salute, by the way, is he, and I'm not an apologist, but I'm saying, look, he said, we will not have genetically modified food in the Russian Federation. When we talk about the times of the end, the biblical prophecies, the great earthquakes are now happening. The great earthquakes are now happening. The plan is, when you hear of EMP, electromagnetic pulse, yep. How many people does it say are going to die?
90%.
In the first year.
90%.
So the Bible says in Bible prophecy, a third is going to die and then another third. So we've got 6 billion people. So, you know, a third of 6 is 2. A third of 4 is 1.3 approximately. So we've got 50% of the Earth's population is going to go. That's according to the Bible. According to the Georgia Guidestones, they want about 5.5 billion people gone. So how are they going to do that? By genetically engineering viruses. A virus is much more effective than a nuclear weapon. A nuclear weapon's good for taking out real estate and installations. A bioweapon is perfect. Now, what do we hear today? The U.S. Just bought $133 million worth of smallpox vaccine. You saw that story. Remember, smallpox is supposed to be eradicated. Oh, excuse me. Didn't the Center for Disease Control find like a cache or a stash of a bunch of smallpox?
Mm-hmm.
So we're there, George. We are at it. And again, you talk, and we're talking about sorceries, okay? Most people don't know that biblical term is pharmaceuticals, okay? Isn't it amazing that no one in the mainstream press is taking on the ties between all of the mass murders and pharmaceuticals?
That's true. Stephen, stay with us. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back. We will bring in Tim Alberino as we talk about giants. This is an incredible story, folks, and we'll be back with you. Stephen's website, that's his name, and it's linked up at coasttocoastam.com, stevequayle.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We send out little tidbits of information every day. And if you need to email me, we'll make that easy for you, too. That's George at coasttocoastam.com. George at coasttocoastam.com.